This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard, not the billiards. It was
billiards room.
Come on already. Come on, we call it the...
The Place to Be.
The Place to Be, yes, the Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Hilo Brown interfered with a frog splash and hit it on Severn, getting some revenge.
I know.
What the hell was it? What was that laugh? It was like an old cartoon fucking Hanna-Barbera dog or something. It was like Snidely? Was that the fucking dog that laughed like that?
JR's got a little more time than I do to sit and actually rewrite a whole show.
This is the third time you said it to me today now. I'm really curious.
Well, I'm not saying that you have nothing to do. I'm just saying
you're curious
day,
how. I'm curious how I have more free time than
no,
you.
No, I've been recording.
What does that mean?
Well... I don't know.
I know it's been a rough, and I'm not used to this long, grueling podcast schedule.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Are you guys just joking about for the next hour?
Fun. Did you say D'Amato, late 20s, 30s?
Speak.
And you included yourself in that as well?
That was being nice. I am still technically in my 30s.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
What the fuck is
shock
this
wall? Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
You go all through the shock wall.
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. PTB Nation, let me know what you're
our opener.
You could do worse than Josh Richard.
Welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Zero, coming at you live on this Tuesday evening inside the PTV Man Cave. And I am loving this Fox Sports Big East deal, Scott, because we have games galore. Every PC game under the sun is on. We have Butler and Vandy on right now, followed by St. John's and Bucknell. It's a Big East buffet of basketball. And the man who excels at Big East buffets, and that is my PSC's Carcass Cole.
Good evening, JR. And could Fox Sports 1 have come at a better time for you and I?
Great.
It's awesome. And our network as well, the CBS Sports Network, my client. A lot of Big East coming up this year, too.
Well, they're going to have the Paradise Jam, right, this
weekend?
Yes,
your Friars will be on Friday afternoon. I believe you're the second game. The first game is...
they're on at 6 Eastern.
Yeah, it's the first 6:30. The first game is Marist and Maryland, I think. And then you're playing Vanderbilt, I think.
Yes, Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Vanderbilt. Yeah, you're playing Vanderbilt
tonight. But Butler's actually beating them at home, so it'll be a nice win.
Oh, there you go. Welcome, PTB Nation. Let me confirm the window took a minute to pop up. Make sure I always get the right number. Number. Tick tock. Kurt Angle. Tick tock. I'm going to guess, but I believe I'm right. 271 of the Place to Be Podcast. And I'm correct, yes.
Okay.
271 of the Place to Be Podcast. We're getting close to JR, yours and my favorite time of the year for the show.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like from like right now till...
Well, it starts with like Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween to like mid-January, you and I are like kids in candy stores because
yes.
We love the holidays, we love themes. I mean, I was in radio for a long time, you did TV stuff too, and we loved theme stuff. It gets people in the mood for the holidays, and you and I will see each other a few times over the next few months. So, we got a lot coming your way, PTB Nation. A lot of stuff. We were already talking about a Christmas episode, and then of course, as we know, three Bills coming our way. Only 29 episodes away.
Getting there. So over the last couple of weeks, of course, we've had a heavy focus on Survivor Series.
Yes.
Specifically, this past week, Sunday, we did our old school roundtable with a great panel. And tonight we have headlines, a little bit abbreviated for you due to some time constraints on my end. So what we're going to do is we're going to run through the picks,
Mm-hmm. And as we do that, we're going to kind of talk about what's going on in WWE. So instead of doing it as two separate segments, we're going to kind of bang it all out in one shot. And then Jordan Duncan is here tonight with some half-baked ideas.
A little half-baked ideas.
We might try and squeeze some football in, and if not, we'll get to that next week's time. So why don't we dive right in, Scott?
Okay.
Get right into things. We have Survivor Series live.
Live. This Sunday.
The Boston Garden.
Yes. Well.
No. BS, your cunt is in the sink.
You actually did something I normally do, which is go way too old school.
The Boston Garden? Well, we were just talking about 93.
Yeah, the TD Garden in Boston, where you and I were 5 years ago. And actually, the Silverback will be there on Sunday. Rotella is going to be there Sunday. So, if we see somebody, if we see somebody with his arm around Midget Mantar,
yes.
we will know who. We won't know which is which, but we'll know.
I guess speaking of 93, Scott's, now's the perfect time to talk about my my article I did.
Yes,
it was posted yesterday. PlaySimulation.com. The Ballad of Ludwig Borga.
Knew that was coming.
Yeah. So it talks all about how he ended Tatanka's undefeated streak. Yep. And his feud with Lex Luger and kind of where he went off to. So if you're into kind of, you know, realistic look, I guess. I don't know how to explain it. But
kind of a little bit
of a tongue-in-cheek look at a fun little time period in 93. It's a quick read, so check it out. The Ballad of Ludwig Borga up on PlaceToBeNation.com right now. Yep. All right. That was 20 years ago in this very arena.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
20 years later, here we are. Well, not the very arena, I guess. But
pretty much next door.
Same vicinity.
Or up the street, something like that.
Yep. All right, so you'll be watching Sunday, right? So will I.
I will indeed. I will be at the head of GetThePointRadio.com, my buddy Mike, and the rest of those knuckleheads. It'll be a good time. And I will be blogging. So I have to see who'll be joining us. Kind of a funky Sunday. A lot of have to see who'll be joining.
Big football. I mean, I'm going to Picasso's, and I'm already curious what it's going to be like because Pat's Broncos. It's on up against it.
You told me in the parking lot.
It's gonna be crowded. Well, Roger's coming too, so he's kind of our in between guy. But him and his wife are going early to get us a good table. We'll be good to go.
Yes.
Well, see, the thing about the 8 o'clock game, Scott, that doesn't affect us as much because those guys don't come till later. You know,
that's
the
true.
Games that fuck us are when like the Pats are at four. Yes, that's the worst right there. So
yeah, because a lot of them stay. Is that Cena? That Cena Pats fantasy still?
He's been back. He hadn't been there for years, and now he just returned recently.
What was the last one you and I were? Last one I was at was
it was a while ago now.
It was Night of Champions
11.
11, and he was there because we were there all day. That was one of our long days. We were there about 2. The Cowboys were playing the Broncos or the Niners that day. But that was the last time I was there. How about Taker Lady? She must never show up now.
I haven't seen her, so I don't know. I hope she's still alive. We'll see if she shows up for Survivor Series. Yeah. We'll see. The one really obnoxious group that's there every month. We'll see if they're there because usually when the show's local, they'll attend. So I wonder if they're going to actually be at the Garden and not in Picasso's.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. But it'll be fun. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
It's always fun. Of course. Right, so and Roger, I guess we'll give him a plug. He's actually going to be his first podcast appearance there on Place to Be Nation. He's going to be joining Callum Leslie talking some.
Oh, very nice. On Grapple Talk. Very cool.
So check that
out. Very cool. Incidentally, on a side note, before we start, I know we do a lot of pimping, and I guess we'll do the pimping later. I'll save the pimping for later. I have a little plug for our man. Mr. Cawthon. We'll talk about that later during the break.
All right. Let's get to the card.
Let's dive in. We have a kickoff match.
Kickoff.
There's 6 matches total.
Yep.
We have a kickoff match, and then we have our 5. And we have 2 old school traditionals. What do you think of that? You pumped?
Yeah. I mean, added last minute, but it's okay. We didn't even really get the I guess we kind of did, but we should bring back the Survivor Series Showdown. You know, get the one match from each thing. So, all right. Yeah. Kickoff match on YouTube, Mr. Chris Golo.
Yes.
Kofi Kingston, the king of the pre-show.
Yeah.
Battling the other king of the pre-show, the recently turned heel Miz, back where he belongs on the heel side.
Thank God.
Normally, I'd probably go with the face on the YouTube pre-show, but I can't imagine they're going to job Miz out after turning him heel and kind of resetting him, so I'll take the Miz here.
Yeah, I think the Miz is going to win, too. Thank fucking God.
You like the heel turn?
Now what we need is the returning Sheamus to turn heel, and then everything will be fine. I think Miz wins here as well.
Now, did Miz... I'm going to be honest. I did not get to watch much of Raw last night. I was... at the Providence game, by the time I got home, I had to take care of some stuff, and I did not get a chance today. It was busy, so I didn't get to read your awesome Raw recap on PlaySimulation.com. So tell me, did Miz do anything heelish last night?
He pulled, he did the old Sid a la 92. He was like dangling his hand in front of Kofi, trying to get the tag, and then he just dropped off the apron.
And let Kofi,
they were facing the Real Americans. Kofi ended up getting stuck in Swagger's Patriot Lock, and he tapped out. And that was it. There's nothing else. He started. Miz was mouthing off, and he walked away. That was it. There was
well,
no
he
like,
started a heel turn, like on fucking Twitter or something, right?
Wasn't he? Yeah, he started. He started acting that way on the Europe, on the Scotland, England tour, or whatever, okay. The Ireland tour. So he was already there. There were hints of it, and then and now he's full blown, which is so happy he's back to being what he's good at. Think they should bring back your pal there. He's been on camera so long, I can't remember his name. I have his face in my head though. His little boy, his pal there from when he was a heel the last time. No, not
Alex
you.
Alex Riley.
Alex Riley. Yeah, you should bring Alex Riley back now.
Oh, he's been doing.
I miss the heel again. He needs a pal.
Is he? Still, he doesn't do commentary in NXT still, does he? Or what's he doing? Like Superstars, a main event.
Yeah, Superstars. He does main event once. And I bet you he'll be on. Well, no, he won't be on this week on the kickoff or the little roundtable thing that they do. I think it's who the hell is it? It's Foley. I think it's Foley, Booker, and somebody. Are the three panelists probably with Josh this week?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have some big ones for the.
Yeah, I think it's Foley. It's Foley, Booker, and somebody. I don't remember who else. Do they have it on the thing here? But anyway, yeah. So thank God, I think it's needed. And I think Miz wins here. So definitely a change of pace, though. Definitely
right. A change. Let's get to the show itself.
Okay.
Kick off with the Diva battle. The Band of the Gen team of Natalya, the Bellas, the Funkadactyls, JoJo, and Eva Marie. Of course, if you read Total Divas, watching Total Divas every week from Ben and Jen, you'll know JoJo hasn't really been featured much lately on Total Divas, and Eva Marie is still annoying as shit. And they will take on AJ Lee, Tamina Snuka, Caitlin, Rosa, Summer Rae, Oksana, and Foxy Alicia Fox.
Yes, as I said on, I even said it on my recap, JR. It was the Total Divas team managed by, captained by Ben Morse and Jen Angle, taking on the team that actually has the talent managed by me.
Now, but, is this elimination?
Yes. Yes. And AJ and Caitlin are somehow back together. I just don't know why. Caitlin has suddenly been like anti-Total Divas.
What do you like here?
Oh, I definitely like the Total Divas because why? I mean, please, it's pretty clear as day. And I tell you, I hear some interesting things though that a lot of people kind of feel bad for Natalya because, for one, who clearly, except for AJ and maybe Caitlin, Natalya is the most talented of anybody on either team, and she's got. I don't know why you'd be laughing. It's the truth. And she's the one that's got to be like, well, you're not a total diva, even though in the back of their mind she's like, I don't want to be on a fucking show. I want to beat the crap out of somebody. Right. You know what I mean? It's very, very weird. But, yeah, I think definitely. It's going to come down to AJ. This is where Nikki will finally get her – or Brie will get her pin on AJ without having AJ jobbing the title. And then maybe they'll have another title match at TLC or something. But I think the Total Divas team wins, and I think this is where Brie finally gets her pin on AJ. Well, she's had her pin on AJ in matches, and – They'll pump her back up and get another pin here without AJ having to lose the belt. So I like the team.
Yeah, it's a tough fight. I always have a hard time seeing AJ losing, but I gotta think, yeah,
I agree.
The Total Divas got to win, though, I guess, right? To push that along.
I trust me, I don't want to pick it.
Yeah.
Ben's doing the happy dance, but, you know, I think...
they'll probably set up AJ's next title feud, I'm guessing, just through that.
Yeah, with somebody. I mean, but who else on this? Unless this is where Nikki finally turns heel. I don't know, is there tension on that show, JR, between the two of them?
Between
Nikki and Brie?
No.
I see. Okay. I think AJ... Unless she snaps and just walks away and gets counted out or something. I don't know. I just can't see her... getting pinned.
I can see that. Maybe some of her team gets run off and it's like 5-on-1 and she just says fuck it and walks out.
That's entirely possible. She'll be the last one in her team and she'll either win or obviously lose. But if she loses, I think Brie gets the pin to kind of re-pump her up and then maybe she gets one more shot at the Divas title. And then, I mean, honestly, JR, she should keep it till Survivor Series. She should keep it till WrestleMania. Seriously. She's the best champion. Yeah, I would say she right now is the strongest champion on the show. I hate to say it, it's the truth. She's the strongest champion on the show right now.
She probably should give it to Mania. I think you're right there. So we'll see. This, and we're going to put some thought into these guys. I'm only one out in our league.
Yeah, I think I'm two out. I think I'm only two out.
You and Chad Campbell are all in the mix.
Yeah, you and I have had a good year.
I always think back to that the fucking, I was just listening to the little bit of that episode the other day, that stupid Rhodes family where I got all souped up on the Midnight Rider. That cost me the lead.
I know. Oh, God. Trust me, I kept saying I wish you were right, to be honest with you. But anyway, yeah, I think I personally think that Brie will get a pin on AJ to set up one more title match that she'll lose, and then AJ will move on to somebody else.
Okay. All right, we got another old school Elimination Survivor Series match. Mm-hmm. Just added last night. We have The Shield, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, teaming with an awesome pay-per-view appearance for the Real Americans.
Yeah.
Jack Swagger, Antonio Cesaro. Great to
By
see them.
By the way, JR, this Friday night, actually taping as we speak, is taking on the Rhodes brothers for the tag team titles.
Oh, very nice.
So there we may have new tag team champions by Sunday evening.
I like this little renewed push they're getting. You can tell they like Cesaro, so we'll see if Swagger goes for the ride or if he gets left behind. But and they take on the five-man squad of the Rhodeses, Cody and Goldust. The Usos having a good year. A nice little
good for them. Everybody broke my balls about them, but they I knew they were gonna get some
nice little pay-per-view year for them. They've been on a lot. Yep. And the returning, the man who's already maybe re-injured if you read the news sites, and that is Rey Mysterio.
Yes. Yeah.
Made his return last night. He was the mystery partner that had been announced earlier in the night and came out, made the save at the end of the show, attacked the Shield and the Wyatts.
Yes.
And he was seen limping after the show backstage. So
fucking shit show.
We'll see if he's already hurt again. But a good return for him. Interesting spot. We'll see. I think I'm guessing their plan is to try and get him to Mania. And then maybe anything on top of that will be gravy if he doesn't wrap it then. I'm guessing they want him for Mania. That'd be my prediction.
I would think so, too. I would think they want to have some kind of match with Del Rio or possibly.
All right, so I'm going to – I hate going face heavy, and I feel like I'm erring that way now. But I'm gonna go with the face team of the Rhodes, led by the Rhodes family. They seem to really push them. Seriously, I have a hard time seeing Ray eliminated in his return. So I can see like him and Cody being the sole survivors in this one. I think the Shield and the Real Americans take the falls.
Mm. I agree. You're starting to see some hints, JR, the last couple weeks of the Shield possibly turning face. I don't know about all of them, but I feel Roman Reigns is talking a little bit more.
Yeah.
And there was some tension. There was some tension with like Ambrose.
Oh, that's
going
definitely their plan is to turn Reigns as their main face. But
yeah, they're trying to be very Batista-ish about it. Yeah. Very coy, very slick. Not like Orton in 04, but more like Batista in 05 and make it very organic. And we got other Orton issues that we'll talk about in a little bit. But
so what's your grade for the Rhodes family?
Oh, they're an A. And you can tell what I love about them. And I was talking to our buddy Johnny about it, and he kind of agrees with me. I'm curious your thoughts. I feel like since he's returned, I feel Goldust is booking their matches. Very Goldust-y.
He may well be.
You know? Very, very.
He's playing a role. I mean, Cody's a student, though, and knows the game. So it could be very well they're working together with it, and Cody knows the style well enough just from studying Goldust matches.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very strike-heavy. Goldust always worked that way. Very strike-heavy. I think they look awesome. I really dug the Midnight Rider idea, though. I kind of wish we had went with it, but that's too good for
me. I got all jazzed up again listening to that episode the other day. I was like, come on. I was right there.
We've done that a few times, you and I.
I thought that one really had a chance, though. I mean, some of the other stuff we've talked about is a little out there, but that's one I really thought they had a chance.
Yeah. No, I think they've been fantastic. I think the whole team is good. The Usos probably will eat a couple pins, and that's why they're there. But look, I've been touting, not that touting, but I've been touting the, if you've been reading, for those that have been reading my column on unpleasedtobenation.com, and even earlier in the year before the website started, I've been talking about the Usos constantly. I think they're a good team. I think they're fundamentally sound. The crowd gets pumped up for them. They're kind of the happy face team. You know, there's no grizzledness there. They're just a good, happy, like a good mid, you know, they are JR, like a good mid 90s tag team.
I like
the crowd
the Usos.
Pumped up, you know.
I hope they keep them together. I mean, and John Uso has been quite the little building his own following on Total Divas. So
really?
He's on there. He's dating one of the Funkadactyls. So
Cameron, I think. Yeah, is Cameron the? And I'm trying to say this is Cameron the lighter skinned one, right? Naomi's the darker skinned one.
I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm trying to think. Yeah, Cameron is the one that was on. Right, Cameron was the one that was on.
Actually, I had that queued up before.
That's brutal.
Midgets playing basketball.
Ariane was on that. That was her.
Yeah, Midgets playing basketball.
Not Cameron.
I can't think of the fucking name of the show.
Tough Enough?
Tough Enough. Thank you. I kept wanting to say Total Recall. Tough Enough. And then Naomi was on the women's NXT, the one AJ was in.
Right.
So that's it, yeah. That's right. Okay. Yeah, she's dating.
Oh, so wait. Ariane is Carmen. I was like Carmen.
Carmen. Cameron. Ariane is Cameron.
This is a Carmen. I'm a Funkadactyl.
and Naomi is the one that was on. Is the taller one, and she's the one that's on, that was on NXT. All right. Anyway. I mean, they've been awesome. I've been pimping them all year. That they've been a fantastic, good, like popular, fun tag team to watch.
Well, they were good anyway, and then. I feel like since that Money in the Bank pre-show, that's where they really kind of caught fire. Remember that really, really good match they had?
Yep.
And since then, they've really been in the mix with everything. And they've been around for a while, right? Because weren't they around when Brett was GM?
Yeah. They were heels, I think, though.
Yeah. I mean, God, it must be a couple years, right? When was he GM? 2011?
2011. Yeah. Isn't that when he won the U.S. title? Or was that 2010 when he came back?
No, it was 2010 when he came back and did the Nexus stuff. 2011, he was GM, and remember, like, the Hart brothers there, TJ and DH, they were still around, and they thought they were going to be, like, Brett was going to have their back, and I remember he made them fight the Usos for the tag titles, and I think that was right around they debuted. So, yeah, I'd say they've been around a good 2 years.
Yeah, and they're just a fun team. They're a fun team, very mid-90s-ish, you know, need a little happy-go-lucky kind of thing there. I hope they don't try to turn him heel or do anything weird with him. I think they should stick around as baby faces. So
yeah, I don't really see where they would go heel. I mean,
nah, I don't think
I'd love to see once the Rhodes thing is done. I'd love to see the Real Americans get the titles and maybe have a feud with the Usos for a little bit. I think that could be a pretty good feud. I do think they have aspirations to break off Cesaro because I really think they like him. I think it's clear how he's getting himself over big time with the fans, and you know, the stuff with Cena praising him on the European tour. That's not done for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason he does that kind of stuff. So I think they definitely think Cesaro has the goods, and he does.
Yeah, they gave him a good U.S. title reign, and then sometimes you got to take a step back. And you know, I think a lot of fans get a little too aggravated too quickly about things like, oh, you know, look, the match he had with Kofi on main event that when he lost the title was, or the night after the match after he lost the title, he lost it on Raw, and then they had the rematch.
Well, no, I think there was right to be some hand wringing because I do think he was. I do think they were misusing him for a bit. I think he's worked hard since he started doing the big swing and he got rid of the yodeling and all that. Like, I feel like he's gotten himself back over.
No, I agree. But sometimes, sadly, sometimes guys need to kind of, you know, you got to kind of put them on the back burner for a bit, focus on something else, then you bring them back. And if the fans, I guess, sometimes I think creative thinks if the fans are upset that he's being misused, then that means they still care. So we can keep him on the back burner, let people get all fired up, and then when we're ready and we need him again, bang, we'll bring him out. Full force. And maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but that's my philosophy there. But I agree with you. I think they're definitely he's definitely the highlight guy of the. I wouldn't be surprised if they turned on if they don't win the tag titles, I could easily see Cesaro and Zeb Coulter turning on Swagger and just getting rid of him if they decide to keep Cesaro a heel and cutting him loose. I could see that happening too, but we'll see. But Cesaro is definitely the showcase, the centerpiece guy in this team. There's no doubt about it. As for who's going to win, yeah, I mean, logic would tell you. You can't see Ray, as crippled as he is, coming back to get, you know, to job. And the only way I see Cody and Goldust jobbing is if they lose Friday in the tag match, or maybe they win and get a rematch. I don't know. I just can't see any of the babyfaces losing right now, except the Usos. Like, they could eat a couple pins and nobody would care. Unless you start seeing some Shield dissension.
Well, I think we'll see Goldust get pinned. I think it'll be Cody and Cody and Ray, the survivors.
Cody and Ray, the finals. Okay. Yeah. All right. I like that idea too. I like the faces here.
All right. So that is it for Survivor matches. Now we have a tag team match. Should be a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Is Roman and Howard, who are the Piper? Are those the name? The original
it was Elmer and Luke.
Eric Rowan and Luke Harper of the Wyatt family take on CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, kind of a dream team.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, let me ask you this before we get into the match.
Mm-hmm.
You think we're getting a little mega powersy with Punk and Bryan? Think they're going to be BFFs for a bit and blow up at Mania? Because neither of them really seem to have a match right now. if we're not going to get Brian Triple H. Maybe Brian regains the title. Punk wins the Rumble. I mean, that's been rumored.
I like that. I like that analogy, JR. Mega Power Z. Interesting. They're kind of floating in limbo at the moment. They're just here now.
Right, kind of makes sense. I mean, it's almost like a lower level. Well, not even lower level. I'd say Brian's about on. I mean, it's a little.
It's like they're like on the seam of low main event, high mid card.
I don't think Brian is too far below where Savage was in late '87. I think that's fair to say. I mean,
I don't think so either.
Position wise,
yeah.
And Punk is, you know, obviously not Hogan, but as close as we get nowadays.
Because his match is next. We'll talk about the Hogan guy in a minute because his match is next. That's a good analogy. I think the problem right now is with the show. We'll talk about Raw, really, because that's the centerpiece show. The problem is, there's a couple things, but we'll focus on this situation since we're talking about these guys. I feel like that guys are in the wrong slots on the roster right now. I feel like the main events are very disjointed because nobody in the main events belongs there right now. And meanwhile, you have these two burgeoning studs who got crazy pops. That was an awesome 12-man tag Monday night. Great match. It was a highlight of the show. Otherwise, the show was really not that good. And they're kind of there. Kind of like Bret in 95, right. only not as insulting, I guess. But you may be onto something there, JR, because it does seem like...
I mean, there's been rumors that they were going to fight.
A couple months.
There's been rumors they're going to fight at Mania. It's just going to matter if the title's on the line, which I could see it being. Although part of me sees a hard time not having the Triple H faction involved in the title match on some level either. So maybe it's just a straight up match. I don't know.
It could be like an even greater. Situation like Vince at SummerSlam '98 with two baby faces and Taker and Steve, or to a greater extent, JR, kind of like Savage Warrior at SummerSlam '92. Whereas Triple H, the Authority, is kind of like Perfect and Flair, where they're kind of
That could be good too.
You know, you could have both baby faces and have the Authority feel like, fuck, you know, we can't mess with this. Neither of them like us,
right?
You know, they're both loved by the fans. We can't stand either of them. We can't get out of this. You know what I mean? I think that'd be a great outside the box storyline for WrestleMania.
All right, we're getting way too excited about things again.
I know,
but I like that idea too. So to this match. I think, man, I cannot see them beating the Wyatts. The Wyatts need a big win. And we already got so many faces winning on the show.
I thought this was a handicap. I didn't realize that Bray is not in this match.
Yeah, Bray's not in the match.
I thought it was a handicap. See, that kind of takes a luster out of it.
Well, I think he gets involved.
Well, of course he will.
The key is, do you think Punk and Bryan win by DQ, or do you think they take the pin? I can't see Punk losing another pay-per-view match either. This is a really tricky one to pick. I just have a hard time seeing them job the Wyatts out. But even though, I mean, a loss to these guys is bad.
Yeah, but you're dropping the two low guys out.
Yeah, but you're still trying. I mean, you're still trying to make the group strong. I mean, I know Bray is still the guy. I mean, at the end of the day, I'll probably take Bryan and Punk because it's safer. Again, I just feel like we have all faces winning. And usually when we pick all these faces, that means like we're wrong all across the board. But I'll take Punk and Bryan with the caveat that it may be via DQ when Bray gets involved.
Yeah, because I can't see these guys getting... I think the faces have to win here, because if you're going to try and continue this feud, what the fuck are they going to do with TLC? You kind of want to have them in a... I could see Punk or Bryan being in the title match at TLC. I could see both of them, maybe. Maybe you have a four-way. Big Show, Bryan, Punk, and Orton. And, you know... So I think they win, because I think they're more important to the... I agree with you that Harper and Rowan could use a win, but I think in the general scope of things, I think for long term, I think you really need to ignite Punk and Bryan for whatever's coming in New Orleans. And I think it starts here. So I don't think you're totally around a possibility, but I think sacrificing Harper and Rowan is more like collateral damage for igniting Punk and Bryan forward. I don't think either of them eating a pin is that big a deal.
Do you think we find out about any kind of Heyman involvement?
Maybe. Or maybe we see a new family member. It's the only way I could see Punk and Bryan losing is a fourth family member. Because you can grow these guys into, like, you know, aces of fucking eights. Right. If you really want to. I don't think you will, but I could easily see. I could easily see a fourth family member coming in. Remember, the devil made me do it.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I think Heyman's going to get involved here. I don't think we're done with that whole thing.
You think eventually Heyman makes a deal with the two devils make a deal with each other, Heyman and Triple H?
It's possible to.
You know?
All right.
Devil you don't know.
It'll be interesting. See where they go with it.
This is what we need. These are the discussions where we need like one of our long blocks. Not tonight. But anyway, I like Punk and Brian here. I think you're getting too protective of the Wyatts. I don't think them eating a pin is as big a deal as you think. That's just my opinion.
All right. World heavyweight title on the line. Alberto Del Rio challenges John Cena. Again, I hate to pick another face.
But this is the face.
Yeah, I don't see Cena losing to Del Rio here.
No. Although Tom Brady's not, the Patriots are not as rock solid as they used to be, JR, so you can't use that Pats analogy anymore. Remember, they're home dogs on Sunday
night. I know,
night.
Right? Yeah.
For the first time in 9 years or whatever the hell it is. I'll watch him fucking win, too. I think Cena wins. The whole point of him having the belt right now is A, to consolidate the brands to a certain extent, and B, you know, the train's chugging towards the network in February. A new job was a guy got hired earlier this week for VP of programming or something.
Well, I mean, that's a whole another bag of cats, but what I think we'll do for that is direct people to placebnation.com, Goodwill Wrestling. They did a way more in-depth thing, Scott, than we could ever probably put together now.
Yeah.
For all the possibilities. But like you said, it is pegged to kick off the night after the Chamber. And I thought Chad made a good point today when we were talking. You think it's odd that they're deciding to not include the Chamber? Like, if pay-per-views are going to be their big draw and you want to get subscribers right off the bat, wouldn't you? I mean, if they don't include the Chamber, there's not going to be a pay-per-view on there till Extreme Rules in April.
Right. Because
they're not showing Mania. So it seems like you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot now. One of your big draws is that you're going to have the pay-per-views on there. And now you're going 2 months without one.
Unless. If you order the network, you get a discount on Mania.
They're going to have to be doing something with Mania. I really wonder. Well, it's such a big part of their gate, but I really wonder if they do some kind of deal with Mania from the network. Because it's 30 networks launching. Either they show it a tape delay. I don't know. I feel like there's something in play there. I also think we're going to see a pay-per-view in England in the next year. Or 18 months. Because now they can do it because they can show it live on the network.
Yeah, whenever they want.
And then do it live again later at night on pay-per-view.
They should do it on a Saturday, too. I don't think they'll do it on a Sunday. They should do it on a Saturday.
Well, they could do it during like non-football Sunday.
Yeah, do it in fucking, you know, I don't know, June or something, you know, or July. You know? October was always a big month for them back in the old days with
Oh, you could do it right after Mania, whatever. I think we'll see one over there. Now that they have the network, they can just air it live at whatever, 2 o'clock and then replay it at night at 8. Like it wouldn't surprise me. So all right. So we both like Cena there and not sure where Del Rio goes after this. He's really kind of rudderless.
It pisses me off too, because I still think he's one of the MVPs of the company for the whole year.
Well, that's usually what happens to the MVPs in these years, right? They, by the time the big part of the year starts, they're gone.
They're fucking gone, right? Yeah.
They carry shit from, you know, whatever, May. Although he got his Mania showdown, kind of, but maybe he goes into a feud with Ray. All right, WWE champion Randy Orton defends for the first time in forever, not against Daniel Bryan, but instead against The Big Show. Of course, has been heavily involved in this whole feud with the Power, Triple H, the Authority. I don't see Show winning the title under any circumstances here.
No,
so I will take Orton to retain, and that's at least one heel we got winning.
Yeah, and but honestly, this is just so. Watching Orton right now is worse than face Miz and face. Sometimes face Miz, face Sheamus, and Total Divas might be less nauseating than having to see this weird whiny pants Orton thing. I don't know what the fuck they're doing with him. I don't understand. It's almost like one of these weird like 80s heels. Like all he's doing is crying and crying and And I think the whole – and here's the other problem. Lately, I feel like now that Daniel Bryan's out of the main event picture, I feel like the authority, Triple H and Stephanie, are softening their heelness.
Yeah.
Now they're getting, you know, they're getting back at Maddox. They're getting back at Vicky. And now they're breaking Orton's balls. Like, what is the point here? I feel like they're completely lost right now with this entire top of the card thing right now. Totally lost.
Well, the problem is they have so much time to fill, and they don't really have a strong alliance of faces. I mean, they pretty much kill off Brian by screwing him left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Punk has kind of been doing his own thing, and they're not really ready to get him involved.
Right.
And then now you're down to the Big Show. I mean, you know, who else do you have?
Yeah.
They don't have anyone else. So that's why I think it's been a little bit like they're
I have a feeling you're going to see Ryback turn face again.
I don't know. He's in the doghouse. They don't seem to give it. I mean, they basically buried him yesterday with Show kicking out of the fucking... They gave that away for free, the shell shock, and then Show kicked out of it.
I thought that too, but I'm thinking... Cole was kind of saying, wow, Ryback... What an F. You know, the announcers, the way they kind of Svengali it, no pun intended. What an impressive performance. Can you believe what Ryback did?
Well, I'm sure he is going to turn face. I just don't think he's in line for any kind of serious push.
No.
What do you think they'll do with Sheamus? You think they may do that idea where he comes back as Triple H's muscle?
I don't know. I was thinking that for a little bit, but like you said, we have a dearth of baby faces right now. So.
Yeah.
You know,
I think he fits so well. Sadly. I just picture him with a little fucking beret hat on with the with the whatever that hat is, not beret, fedora. Is that what it is?
Fedora, yeah.
A little fedora with his tie and vest on, just standing there with, you know, his Triple H's muscle behind him.
Oh no, derby.
Not the derby.
The what are those called? My dad wore them, like those Italian hats.
Yeah.
Yeah, those hats. Yeah.
Little Irish paperboy hat. Look, I picture him wearing that.
Irish paperboy. We'll talk more about Sheamus. We'll talk more about when we get a wider window to chat. We'll have to get more into the meat and potatoes as we get to the end of the year and towards 2014. But Orton wins here. I don't think the match. Honestly, this pay per view is all about the Survivor Series, the traditional tag match with Cody and Goldust and Punk and Bryan. The rest of these matches are going to be shit. They really are. Women's match about as good as it's going to be. Cena Del Rio's okay. I mean, they're not bad in the ring together, and I think Orton Show is going to be terrible. I do not have a good feeling about that match at all. I think the show is all about Punk Bryan and Cody and Ray.
Yeah, and those matches are going to have to really stand out to make this thing a winner.
Yeah, I have a bad feeling. People are getting pumped up. Graham on Twitter last night was getting pumped up. He's going to order it, but
I would not get pumped to order this. I mean, I'm excited to go see it at Picasso's to hang out and watch football, watch wrestling,
but you know, $5 and a little chicken and broccoli pizza, but
right. Sitting home and say I'm going to spend $60 on it, $50 on it.
And the Silverback's going to sit there. Who knows how much he paid for his tickets?
Let me ask you this, Scott, because it's an interesting question. We talked about it Sunday on the roundtable, and Chad threw it up in the live chats today. What where do you rank it right now in line with the other pay per views? Like, what number does Survivor Series check in on your list of anticipated pay-per-views throughout the year?
On a scale of 1 to 12?
Like, all right, well, let's eliminate what's 9?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's eliminate what's above it, right? Mania.
Mania.
Rumble.
Rumble.
Chamber.
Money in the Bank. Chamber.
Money in the Bank, yep, like you said.
Those four. SummerSlam. I still always get pumped. That's okay. Old school.
No, I agree with you. SummerSlam's above it, so there's 5. Hell in a Cell?
No.
Okay.
I think I might put Hell in the Cell below that. TLC.
Yes, TLC definitely.
TLC.
So that's 6.
Because those shows overall have been great the last couple of years.
Yep. So it's at least 6.
Yeah. Maybe 7.
Maybe the Cell.
The problem is the last couple of years, the concept of like May and September and have been kind of a shit show. I do look forward to Night of Champions because I like all the belts on the line. As much as the matches might be garbage or there aren't titles.
Yeah, but you don't look forward to it more than Survivor. I mean, Survivor still has some... You know, some lure, and I think I do like that it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I mean, if you're not going to have a Thanksgiving Eve anymore, to me it should at least be that Sunday.
That week, right.
Like, I don't like when it's like 2 weeks before, you know?
Yeah, no, start the week off, I like that. I like it.
I don't mind it there. So to me, that adds a little cachet to it.
So I'll say 7th. I'll say 7th. Behind Mania, Rumble, Money in the Bank, Chamber, TLC, SummerSlam.
Yeah, I think it's right in that 7th slot.
Which sucks, but... That's them treating it that way.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
All right, Scott. They got rid of it in 2010. We talked about it. You know, they almost got rid of it. So.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we take a break?
Okay.
We'll come back and we'll see if Jordan's ready. If not, we'll crank out some NFL predictions and then we'll wrap things up.
Okay. Because.
No, we're not. That is fine. Of course you had to play that.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What I'd like to have right now.
Chad, do you ever feel that the world revolves around WWF?
I think you mean WWE there, Barf.
Yeah, whatever, but what about David Crockett?
Well, what about Jimmy Valiant?
I'm gonna get y'all until I get you, Paul Jones. Ooh.
The Four Horsemen.
We are a family, and we are the best.
The Omni, the Dangerous Alliance.
Please welcome the newest members of the Dangerous Alliance, Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko.
Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
The Fantastics are putting the U.S. Tag Team title on the line against the Midnight Express.
Main events with actual work rate in them.
Woo! 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 All right!
It's just not fair to Flair.
It's not fair for Flair.
If this is what you're looking for, please check out Where the Big Boys Play podcast, the only pure NWA and WCW supercard podcast out there.
While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunder Lips, I was winning world titles.
Well, there they are, our good friends Chad and Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. If you want nonstop old school NWA discussion, getting back to that very first Starrcade, these guys have it covered. Even the PICs have made an appearance once. We are very particular what podcasts we visit. So check out our friends Chad and Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. Their link is right on our site, placetobenation.com. Just go into the podcast menu, and there they are, the other great shows we partner with. Chad and Parr, working Where the Big Boys Play. Speaking of Place to Be Nation, that's your everyday home for your pop culture needs. At placetobenation.com, we have everything. Wrestling, sports, comics, even polls. We want your opinions as well. Every day there's something different with our top staff of writers who are experts in all fields of pop culture. From the weekly Raw review to the return of the hack, you've got everything you need. We're also working with a myriad of great podcasts. Of course, besides Chad and Parf, we have Grapple Talk, the fans podcast, Off the Top Rope, Answering the 10 Count, We Found New Music, and the Kings of Sport with Nate Milton. We've got everything for your listening pleasure. So check us out every day of the week at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Now, don't forget about our good friend Graham Cawthon and the history of WWE.com. He's still the top source for all argument solvers, from match results to house show cards to pay-per-view histories. Any questions you need answered, any debates among wrestling fans that need ending, head over to Graham's treasure trove of information. You will certainly find it. Need to know what the opener of Starrcade 1995 was? What was the main event of that 1988 Boston Garden house show you went to when you were 11 years old? Graham can tell you. He has WWE, WCW, ECW results, and the growing results in TNA and Ring of Honor. So for all your wrestling research needs, check out Graham Cawthon at thehistoryofwwe.com. Now finally, if you want a place to just hang out, discuss all things wrestling with fellow diehard fans, check out the news and the great forums at twfnews.com. They have all the up-to-the-minute stories in WWE, TNA, and pretty much everywhere in between. They talk old school, Attitude Era, and even those hard-to-remember guys and shows like Waylon Mercy or In Your House Number 3. So check out all there is to see right on twfnews.com.
Hey, this is Ed Banger Thrasher, and you're listening to Where? What the fuck is it? The Place to Be podcast. So you better not miss it because I'm on it.
I'm looking forward to everything.
All right.
I think he should just do a montage of
Well, if he's looking forward to everything, he must be talking about PlaceToBeNation.com, Scott Cristola.
Right. Yes.
A lot going on. Big things happening. Titans of Wrestling 12, hot off the presses. looking at the WWWF from March to April 1980. Good stuff there with the crew, Parv, Johnny, Pete, and Kelly, mm-hmm. as they continue to trek through that year. Total Divas, watching Total Divas episode 2, Ben Morris and Jen Engel. It's a pretty good episode. Features Cena's elbow surgery and all the fallout from SummerSlam. A lot going on there. Scott, my Ring of Honor recap. It's a pretty interesting episode this week. Just one match. It was a Glory by Honor 12, All-Stars versus Champions 8-man elimination tag. You want to talk about elimination survivor matches. This was a phenomenal one featuring Adam Cole, Matt Taven, and Red Dragon battling Michael Elgin, Jay Lethal, and CNC Wrestle Factory. And it had great Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino on commentary and Steve Willey in the crowd. So you had it all from Chicago.
Incidentally, in Ring of Honor, very quickly, JR, Ring of Honor is about to release a DVD you might be interested in, actually. It is a full summary, Ring of Honor versus Scum.
Nice.
So I just got an email for that today, so check that out.
All right, maybe Kevin can toss this one.
Yeah.
Probably not.
No.
Richard the Mailman, Mailmen, episode 13. Josh Richard, along with myself and Andrew Flanagan, talked about Elmo, Halloween, Crackheads, Rob Ford, Ruben Studdard, Facebook Trends, Boneheads,
yeah,
Mary Stewart, Queen of Scots, Molossian Video. Talked about it all, Scott. It's all in there. Josh has a great story about his Halloween party he went to.
Nice.
It's a must listen. It's a crackhead and big fight broke out and all this stuff. So,
New Burger or Boneheads?
Yes, a New Burger and, well, no.
A turkey leg.
Yeah, well, that's not really a burger, right? It's a turkey leg.
No, but you sent me a burger. You talked about a burger the other day, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. That looked great, too. The turkey leg thing looks cool, though.
Yes, it did. Very cool. Yes.
Your Raw recap from last night's up. And as we mentioned before, Filth, Pollution, and Corruption, The Ballad of Ludwig Borga is up as well. Callum Leslie has five big questions coming out of the UFC 167 pay-per-view. Jeremy Nichols with The House of Horror, Child's Play number 2. And, of course, a couple of Survivor Series-related podcasts. Our Roundtable from Sunday night, episode 270. Wrestling with Optimism. It's the official podcast of Graham's History of WWE website. They looked at Survivor Series memories from 87 to 89. That's a new podcast we're going to be hosting here whenever we can grab it. And those guys are fans of the show, fans of the site, Brad and Grant. So check them out, too. And, of course, off the Top Rope, Answering the 10 Count, as always, have their shows as well. Tons of UFC, tons of wrestling, all our full show reviews, SmackDown, NXT, Main Event, Superstars, we got it all. Anything you want, we have pretty much every show covered. Steve Willey's TNA Impact review as well. PlaceTimination.com. We are growing. We are growing fast. Give us a like on Facebook if you can. Facebook.com/PlaceTimination. Follow us on Twitter, Place Number 2B Nation. And also, if you're going to buy anything on Amazon, including the great book by Graham Cawthon, History of Wrestling.
Both of them.
Yep, you can click right on the big, big, big banner on the right-hand column on PlaceFanation.com and then shop to your heart's content. Anything you buy will get a little bit of ducats from Amazon, so check that out. Now, Scott, you said you had a little bit of a little tale for us about Graham, right?
Yeah, well, I two things. Number one, follow him on Twitter, History of WWE. And on my starting this week, actually, and continuing from here on out, you will get the Graham's Raw Tweet of the Night.
Yes.
Which will be right at the bottom of my Raw Recap review on PlaceToBeNation.com. So check it out.
Be sure to follow him all throughout Raw.
Yes, yes, of course. And he's fun. He's fun to watch. I try to pick a good one. I picked a good one last night. Try to find funny ones, but that one just was very poignant, the one I picked. But and secondly, like you said, there's a picture on my Facebook page today. I'm going to put it on the live chats in the PlaceToBeNation page. Get his books. They're really fun. I was thumbing through them. I got them today, and I got one for somebody for their birthday.
Yes, yes, you did. It arrived today. Megan was like, "Oh, your book came." I'm like, "I didn't order a book," and I said, "Oh, it's been my usual birthday gift via mail."
Yep,
and there it was. So I have volume one and volume two now as well.
As I do as well, and it's great to have. It's a good, you know. Sometimes you may not be near your laptop or near your computer or your phone. You're like, yeah. And you're having a conversation about a show, and you're like, "Oh, I'm gonna check my," and you pull out the Bible and thumb through it. And I found my first Coliseum, New Haven Coliseum show I ever went to, and it's awesome. And it's Graham's a good guy. He's been on here many, many times. Mm-hmm. We made him do King of the Ring '95 with us. So throw him a bone. And if you have diehards, yes. And then WrestleMania 12, that was just one of the best episodes ever. Check the archive, by the way. And it's good for him. You know, he's a great guy. The funds help his website. So if you have diehard wrestling nerds in your life, like JR and I, they're great gifts to get. So go to Amazon.com, look for the History of Professional Wrestling, Volumes 1 and 2. You won't be disappointed, and it helps Graham out. So,
Scott, let me toss a little trivia your way.
Yes.
On this date in history, there were two Survivor Series. Do you know which ones?
Today is what? Today is the
19th.
The 1995 Survivor Series.
Very good.
Was today in D.C. And figure one later. 2000?
Very good. Two for two.
2000 in Tampa.
Well played. Yep.
Yep. Thank you. Those two earlier. Early ones. Earlier than normal.
Mm-hmm.
For, but yes, 1995.
Well, like we talked about, that was the first one that was not on Thanksgiving Eve. And they, like I said, I was really disappointed because they really jumped the gun. Mm-hmm. That it was not there. I don't believe it was. That it was. I think it was about 10 days before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so. I think Thanksgiving was definitely not 2021. I don't think Thanksgiving was the 23rd. That seems kind of.
Well, it could have been.
It could have been the 30th. That does seem a little late for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving 1995, November 23rd. So I am wrong. Whether my memory has been hazy these years. It was the week of Thanksgiving.
It was the week of Thanksgiving. So maybe they've always done that. No, they definitely have not.
No, there have been some that were not.
No, I agree with you on that. But, yep, 1995 and 2000 are on this date. So.
Thanksgiving Day in 2000 was also the 23rd, so it was a week off as well.
So it was a week before. For the most part, JR, they do their best.
Yeah.
I think they do their best to get it on the Sunday before. I think they do.
Best is not enough.
Because remember, during the Attitude Era, WCW always used to do their pay-per-view the Sunday before that. Right. So whatever the November one was. World War III? I don't know. Anyway, so that's why I think WWF always lucked out in WWE and got it that way. So, all right, so there you go. History of Professional Wrestling, Volumes 1 and 2. Graham Cawthon, he's the best.
All right, let's quickly blow through these NFL predictions.
Okay.
I will name the game. You say who's going to win, and we'll move along. Okay. New Orleans at Atlanta.
Saints.
Yes, agreed. Pittsburgh going into Cleveland.
Steelers.
I will take the Steelers.
In a close game.
Detroit at home for Tampa, resurgent all of a sudden.
Yeah, but they're not better than Tampa's faced a couple of crippled teams the last couple of weeks. Detroit wins.
Yeah, Detroit needs this game. Yeah. Green Bay also needs a win badly, home from Minnesota.
I can't see the Vikings winning this game. As bad as the Packers are, I think they win. I think they hold on and win this game.
I'm going to take Minnesota on the road here. Peterson always plays well against the Packers. Green Bay just can't get anything going. I don't see where their offense is going to come from. Without Rodgers. But we'll see. I may rethink that one. Kansas City trying to bounce back from their tough loss in Denver, home for San Diego. I will take the Chiefs.
I do too. I think a lot of people, there are a couple of people that think, oh, here's the beginning of the end. They're going to lose 7. No, they're not. No, they're not. Chiefs win here.
St. Louis, home for Chicago, will be helmed by Jake McCown once again.
Yep. I still think they win. I like the Bears.
Me too. Carolina, coming off their big Monday night game against the Patriots, goes into Miami. Could be a little bit of a roadblock, a little bit of a...
letdown?
Yeah, a little trip up. I'll take the Panthers here, but this definitely has a little bit of a sniff here for a possible letdown game.
Yeah, this might have a little hangover action, but any other team that may have a... Maybe. But even on the road, I still think Cam Newton can shred that Packer Dolphin defense, so I'll take the Panthers too.
No, I'll go get Chick-fil-A after and laugh. All right, the Jets, after they laid a shit bomb in Buffalo... And the least expected, most expected loss of all time, least surprising. Every other week, Scott, right? They're going into Baltimore, really a big game to determine who may stay in the wild card race and who may fade out. I'll take the Jets here. This is a must win. I think they get fired up to play Rex's old team. I think Ed Reed maybe has his best game of the year before he fades back into oblivion. And I will. I'm going against my better judgment, taking the Jets here.
I actually like the Jets too. You already did this once. You played that big shit cake against the who'd you play before you beat the Saints? Oh, that shit cake against the Bengals. Came back and you beat an awesome Saints team, and then you laid a shit cake this week. And I think you I'm not that I'm off the Joe Flacco bandwagon, but they're
he's
just
terrible.
They're just not good. Defense is when you're getting rid of Ed Reed, as old as Ed Reed is. I mean, really, what's your better options? The secondary has not been very good. I like the Jets here. And but I mean, mind you, they haven't won at Baltimore since like 1980.
So. Oh, I know.
So, but I think you guys win here.
All right, Houston home for Jacksonville. Looks like Case Keenum's back behind center after Gary Kubiak inexplicably pulled him in the third quarter of the last game, and the fans went crazy, pissed off. But I'll take Houston here. I think the defense is good enough to stop Jacksonville.
So. I agree. I like the Texans.
All right, Oakland. kind of on the fringe as well of the wild card mix.
Mm-hmm.
The AFC West pretty tough. Home for Tennessee, still banged up. No Jake Locker. He's out for the year. I'll take Oakland here at home.
Yeah, I like Oakland too. I think Terrell Pryor's kind of, I think he's kind of learning a little bit from Cam Newton how to run an offense like that and be successful, you know, to a lesser extent. I like the Raiders.
All right, the Colts go into Arizona, into the desert, and I am taking the Cardinals here, Scott. They are playing really well, sitting at 6-4. Indy, a little bit of a shaky win against Tennessee, that big blowout to St. Louis. They seem to be a little rattled. And Arizona's pass defense is very, very good, and I think they give Andrew Luck a bit of a challenge.
I disagree here. I think the Colts wake up. I think this is a statement game for Andrew Luck. I think he steps up here. I think it'll be a very good game. But I like I think it's a lot of offense. I think Carson Palmer will have a good game. Right? Is he still starting for the Cardinals?
Yeah, he threw like 400 yards against Jackson.
400 yards this week. I thought so. Yeah, I thought I saw his name. I think it's gonna be actually a high scoring game. But I think the Colts rebound. I think they'll wake up from their sleepwalking the last couple weeks, and I think they play a strong game and win here.
All right, in the biggest late afternoon matchup, your Dallas Cowboys go into MetLife Stadium to battle the Giants.
Ugh.
All of a sudden, a pretty big must-win, Scott, because your team is now a half game out with Philly on a bye.
Yep.
You have a good chance here to regain control. It may be set the Giants back.
Yep.
Or you can let them right back into the division.
Nope, fuck them. I've never been more confident and excited about beating the fucking Giants. What crack are they smoking lately? You realize, you've won three in a row, but you realize the three teams you beat, and they've all been a bunch of bums. I have no faith in the Giants. I don't care where they are playing at home. I am very confident that the Cowboys go into the MetLife and win this game. I think they play strong. I think the bye was the perfect place for them after that fart they dropped in at the Dome. I think the bye came at the perfect time. I think they're ready. I think they're focused. They go into MetLife and they beat the Giants and they get into a tie for first. It'll be 4-0 in division. So they just got to stay tied. I think they'll finish with a better record in division than the Eagles. They just got to stay tied with the Eagles.
All right. I like Dallas. I think they're better than the Giants. I just have a hard time seeing them sweeping them. I'm going to take the Giants at home here because I think they're playing with a little more confidence, even though they haven't really beaten anyone great. Mm-hmm. Dallas needs to prove to me they can win this game again before I pick them.
All right.
Sunday night at New England. Denver Broncos coming off their big win over the Chiefs. Julius Thomas, Wes Welker, both banged up. We'll see come Friday if they're going to play. And it'll be a little, kind of ironic, I guess, if Wes Welker does not play and Danny Amendola is. But I will take the Broncos here, and I think it's going to be a crazy shootout. Lots of points. Belichick does get into Manning's head, though, a little bit. So we'll see. This should be a pretty wild game, I think.
I'm going to take the Patriots. I think Brady... I've never seen it. Let's be honest, JR. As much as whether you love him or hate him, totally objective here. He has never been this angry after press conferences. I mean, he's every week he looks like he's
going. Half the time it's been his fault this year. I mean, you know, he has played great. At the end of the day, he still threw a pick at the end of that game.
Yeah, he did.
And he probably should have had one a couple of plays before that was tipped around a few times.
Yep, I know. But he's also he's struggled with skill guys all year, not running right pass patterns. Running game's been a little shaky. But I don't know. I feel that Belichick, not one of my favorite people, but I feel this is one of those games he's going to go and outcoach Jack Del Rio, who's now focusing on possibly getting the USC job. So I think Belichick does one of his most masterful coaching performances, legal or not, and the Patriots win.
Okay, I could definitely see that all happening. So, and Monday night. San Francisco 49ers coming off a very questionable loss in New Orleans go into Washington, into FedEx Field to play the Redskins. I will take the Niners on the road here. I think they're going to be a little chapped in the ass after that slight on Sunday afternoon. And I think the Niners pick up the win.
I like the Niners here too, although I would not be surprised. They seem to be struggling against a quarterbacks like
But Washington's defense is so bad.
But their defense is the pits. And if Kaepernick just kind of, you know, is patient, relaxed, I think the yards and touchdowns will come to him. I like the Niners.
All right, Scott, there are your NFL predictions for Week 12. You can catch the power rankings later this week on PlaySimulation.com as well. So what we're going to do right now, before we wrap up, it is time time to return to Jordan Duncan's. We'll call it Duncan's Donuts, because every idea has a hole in it. And Scott, that man is here with us right now. The return of Duncan's Donuts. Of course, Mr. Jordan Duncan. Jordan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, man?
Good. Good to have you back. Last time you were here, I don't think you took a breath. You were doing Survivor and everything else.
I know, man. And I'm a fat guy. You know, that's dangerous for me. So,
well, you can work off some of those Halloween Reese's with us right now, because it is time for your half-baked ideas. Let's have them.
All right. Full disclosure, I am talking to you via phone in my car. Normally when I'm on the show with you guys, I have some notes to look at, and I don't have my notes. So if I'm a little scatterbrained, you know, that's the reason why. But
hey,
I got
you know
two
what?
For
can't
you.
Can't be worse than Reesh.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'll no keep it. It's 9:28 Eastern time. As long as I'm off before midnight, I'm still good there. So I got a wrestling one, and I got a sports one. Which one should we start with?
Let's go with the wrestling first.
Yeah.
Okay, wrestling. Okay, now this is one I think you guys might give me some flack for, so but I think it's interesting, so hear it out. Trying to come up with an idea, and I said to myself, what are my issues with the product? What are fans' general issues with the product? Because truth be told, it's hard for me to come up with an idea, because I really like a lot of what the WWE is doing right now. I love Daniel, I love a lot of it, you know? My issue is this. I DVR every show. I don't watch anything live. Scott, I feel for you that you have to recap everything. You have to watch musical chairs, stuff like that. I can skip it all. I don't have to write about it or anything. So, but I DVR every show, including Impact. This is what I found. More often than not, I just delete SmackDown without ever even watching it. And I don't miss anything. I mean, you guys would agree, if you don't see an episode of SmackDown, you are not behind on any storylines at all, right?
Right, yep.
So
most of my misses a couple like good matches.
Exactly. You know, and Raw makes up for that in spades. Now that they got an extra hour to fill, they just fill it with matches. So, that's my issue. I think the general issue fans have is kind of an old school mentality, you know, and really what I think a lot of it boils down to is that wins and losses don't matter. We've heard that one a lot before, and I'm right on there. I wish guys cared more. I think John Cena's a picture perfect example of that. He could lose the title and come out and aw shucks, you know. So here's the idea, and I think that the English Premier League does this, the soccer league. What if they officially admitted on television that Raw is the flagship show, and they stopped pretending like SmackDown wasn't a B show and embraced that it's a B show? And here's what I mean by that. I think how the English Soccer League works is this. If you finish dead last in your league for a season or two seasons, I don't know, whatever it is, you get dropped down to a lower league. Have you guys heard that before?
Yeah, relegation. That is how it works.
Yep.
Exactly. And I think that's a cool thing. And I think if wrestling tried this, it would. This is why it might be half-baked, because it would be a complete overhaul of how they book stuff. But what if wins and losses started mattering? So let's say Dolph Ziggler, who seems to be losing a lot lately. You lose 5 matches in a row, you're demoted to SmackDown. You're on SmackDown, you win 10 matches in a row, you get a shot at Raw. And you have tiered levels. And that is a way to get NXT into play. The NXT guys are fighting to get to SmackDown. The SmackDown guys are fighting to get to Raw. When you get to Raw, you're there, but you can lose your spot. What do you think?
I like it. I like the concept. Mm-hmm. My only issue is no network in their right mind is going to pay money for a program that's known as like the losers program, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But I like the concept. I do.
I like the concept too, and I figured that would be your complaint. And I guess the way I look at it is it already is that. So
right,
if they
but you're not advertising
that,
it.
Right, and I guess you just have to be creative in a way where it's maybe like a up and coming or something like that. I just think it would make the mid. It would help the mid card more than anything.
Let me tell you how it could work.
Okay.
If the network does take off and they move SmackDown to the network, then you could maybe see it.
Yeah, because they can mangle their own. They can do their own thing. They can do anything they want. Yeah.
Right. They can package it however they want. Yeah. And maybe they could do that with NXT already. You know, NXT is what, just Hulu, basically, right?
Right. I mean, you start it there.
Yeah. So I mean, I just think it'd be a cool idea just to get. Make wins matter more. And the characters that I thought of where I think it shows is the Usos, which is weird, and Ryback, because those are two characters, and the Shield, mm-hmm. who really have benefited from winning matches. I mean, Ryback recently, of course, but when Ryback came in,
right,
they just had him keep winning and winning and winning, and he got over, you know? Big shock, right? People who win matches get over with
crowds. No way.
So, I know, right? So, but, I mean, I think the Usos are a good example of that. These guys, I love them, you know? And if you were to talk to me 6 months ago, I would make fun of them because they were treated like garbage, you know? Now that they're portrayed as something that matters a little bit, I don't know if they improved or if it just improved how you view them, but I enjoy them now. So, and I think if you treat everybody like that, it could just make the product better overall. So that's my first one. What do you think?
I like it as long as you can figure out the logistics of the ratings and all that and the network. And what network it's on, who'll buy it. I'm going to give you a double, but you're okay. thrown out trying to stretch it to a triple.
Okay, that makes sense. I would say that is a very definition of a half-baked idea. It's a good idea, but really, it ain't going to happen.
Right. So. And if it were, how? How do you?
Yeah,
get there?
Exactly.
All right.
Scott,
what are you going to give
him? I'm going to give you a single. I like the concept, but it's very very outside the box there.
Okay. Well, what if this, Scott? What if a win over Triple H counted as 5 wins?
Well, no one would ever get one.
Yeah,
that would never happen. So, Triple H would be on Raw, and everybody else would be on NXT. Duh.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So, all right. I have a non-wrestling one for you guys, and this one I've actually been thinking about for a while. From a comment that Brad posted in the staff page for PlaceToBeNation.com, which you should all be visiting right now and buying things off Amazon.com.
And what's sure Duncan is a part-time writer.
Exactly. Very, very part-time.
It's like that part-time lover song, you know?
Exactly. So, anyways, they were talking about basketball, and shockingly, Andrew Reach was dominating the conversation. And someone brought up the Pistons and tagged me in a post, and they said, I bet you're excited about the Pistons right now. And I said, no, I'm not. And they said, why? They improved the team. They got all these new guys. I'm like, I don't care. Because any basketball fan knows this. Before the season starts, there's 4 to 5 teams that can win the title, and nobody else is going to win. That's what makes basketball different than every other sport. It's not like every other sport where if you get into the playoffs, you got a shot. In basketball, getting into the playoffs as the 8 seed, you're just the sacrificial lamb. I don't get excited about that, and that's just me. So I tried to think of a way to make some interest for a fan like me. I'm a fan of the Pistons. The Pistons are going nowhere right now. And JR, you said this a couple weeks ago on the show. You guys were talking about basketball, and you said the NBA, you got to be on the top or on the bottom. Being in the middle is the worst place to be, right?
Right. Yep. Well, for long term, if you're there for a year or whatever. But if you have any aspirations to become a great team, you need a great player. And unless you're in a great market, you're not going to get a great player via free agency.
And you're talking to a Pistons fan, and so I know exactly what that's like. They've been in the middle for years, and they just keep adding secondary players, and it's frustrating because I don't care anymore. I just don't care. So here's what I came up with. I don't like tanking. I don't like the idea of it. I don't like the idea of getting rid of anything good just for the chance of getting this one star. So I came up with an idea that might make things interesting for a fan like me where my team definitely isn't going to win the title. My team's definitely not going to have the worst record. So how could we have a shot at improving? And here's my idea. You have the lottery, but it's not the draft lottery anymore. What happens is you take the teams that don't make the playoffs. You do the ping pong balls just like you've always done, and the worst team gets the most, and you have the lottery. The number one person does not get the number one pick in the draft. The first two pick get a bye. A bye into what? The number one pick playoff tournament.
I like it.
Here's my idea. One game elimination. The 14 teams that don't make the playoffs play. The first two picks in the lottery. Because the lottery's awesome. You got to keep the lottery somehow. The first two picks in the lottery get a bye to the second round. You play it out. Whatever team wins gets the number one pick. What do you think?
I like it. My only beef is you may be rewarding teams that are better. And which is fine, but that really not only limits the tanking, which is a positive, but it also kind of punishes the really bad teams that need that pick. So if you get a team that may be trying but isn't very good, they're probably not going to advance over a team that just missed the playoffs.
Right. But I guess my thing is, if a team that just missed the playoffs gets the number one pick, they're more likely to become elite.
True.
Over.
Yeah, but now you're kind of killing right. franchises that maybe now never have a chance to rebuild.
True, but I guess my response to that would be, I don't care about punishing teams that are run badly.
Yeah, true.
You know, I don't care if the Bobcats get the first pick. They're going to ruin it. You know, I love Michael Jordan, but not as an owner.
Right.
You know, there's a reason some of these teams are always bad. So I just think it'd be pretty cool. You know, one game elimination. My team, I'd rather see the Pistons in that tournament than in the 8th seed of the playoffs.
Right.
You know, because then they're playing for something that they can win. Then they're playing for something that's going to improve them. And it's probably a lot more exciting because, like you said, the worst teams might be screwed, but they only got to beat a team once. You know, even the worst team in the league can beat somebody once. So I think it'd be pretty exciting. So what do you give me? Don't give me baseball scores. Give me a basketball score here.
All right, I'll give you a shooter percentage of 3 for 30 on that one. Okay, I like the concept. I don't like the fact that you're still punishing the shittiest teams. That's all.
Okay,
but
okay.
I'm down with you that tanking needs to maybe go.
Okay,
I'll give you about a 45%. I'll say like 7 for 27. I think you'll. I
that's
like
much closer to that's more like 25%. But anyways.
4 for 40.
We excel in math here.
Yeah, please. I failed calculus twice. All right, let's put it this way. No beer. You don't get a beer thrown in your face by Ron Artest.
All right, that's good. As a Pistons fan, that's great.
Yeah, no. I like the originality of it, but you got to find a way to give the crappy teams an edge in that kind of maybe make the better teams have to play more games, something like that.
Right. Well, that's where the lottery comes in. The crappier teams have the better chance of getting that bye into the next round.
Right.
So, but the only negative I thought you guys might throw at is those would be some really awful basketball games. You know, I mean, does anybody really want to see the Wizards play the Bobcats with any sort of implication? That's the negative that I thought of is. It could be some really ugly basketball.
Yeah, definitely. That's another one. But sometimes two shit teams maybe, you know, playing for something as big a prize as that.
Right.
Maybe you get a decent game out of them. But.
Yeah, it's true. So, all right. Well, those
kinda
are
like
my things.
Kind of like your performance here, you know? So,
yeah, you did a good job.
No,
thank you,
I'm saying it's the opposite. You're, you know, a shitty team, but you stepped up a little bit when you had to.
Time to make the zone.
You know, I was told that these are called Dunkin's Donuts because they're full of holes, but I think it's because they are rich and fulfilling.
Yes, that's good. In fact,
so.
Too sweet to be sour.
All right, George right. Duncan, the part-time lover at PlaceToBeNation.com.
I knew you were going to play it.
That's right. Check me out on PlaceToBeNation.com sometime in March of 2014.
Once every 6 months.
Yes, I am like the Olympics. Yeah, I'm there once every 4 years, whether you want me to be or not.
Yes. All right, Mr. Duncan. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Bye.
All right, Duncan, always full of great ideas, whether they have one, two, three, four holes in them, you never know. So, Scott, we're going to wrap up one show next week. Backlash 2001 on Monday, and then it's Thanksgiving, so we'll be taking the week off. You'll be here, Rhode Island, for our DAT. Resurgence of the DAT. The DAT is back.
Yes.
Return of the DAT. That'll be the song for the night.
Full story, week after.
Yes, of course, as always.
With any issues.
No broken bones, hopefully. So, everyone, enjoy the rest of your week. Hope you enjoy these last couple of weeks of shows. I'm powering through them for you here. And next week, we'll be back with Backlash. Until then, that's Scott. I am Justin. Take care.
Be careful with the Mormons.
Return of the dead. I'll jump off the G4. We can meet outside. So control your hormones and keep your drawers on. Till I close the door and I'm jumping your bones. 312-313. 215-803. I'll read your horoscope and eat some hors d'oeuvres. 10 on pump one, these holes is self-serve. 757-410s. My cell phone just overloads. I've got holes. I've got holes. In different area codes. Area codes. Holes. 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 Area code. Now every day is
is a holy day. So stop the violence and put the fofo away. Skeet shoot a holy day. 504-972-713. What you gonna do? You checking out the scene, I'm checking a holy night. With perpendicular vehicular homicide. 314-201. Too much green, too much fun. I Bangkok in Bangkok. Can't stop, I turn and hit the same spot. Think not? I'm the thriller in Manila. Slong in Hong Kong. Pimp I'm like Bishop, Magic, Don Juan. Man, after Henny with a coke and a smile, I just pick up the motherfucking phone and dial. I got my condoms in a big ass sack. I'm slanging this dick like a new jack. Biatch! Is it cause they like my gangsta wall?
Gangsta wall.
Ludacris, like Funk code. Flex, gangsta area code.
Is it cause they like my handsome face?
Handsome face.
Is it cause they like my gangsta way?
Gangsta way.
Ooh. Whatever it is, they love it and they just won't let me be. Won't I handle my fears. Don't rush me, just relax and let me be free. Whenever I call. Come running 212 or 213. You know that I ball. Stop running, I've called my substitute free. I've got holes in different area codes.
Area codes.
In different area codes.
Area codes.
I've got holes.
916-415-704. Shout out to the 206. Everybody in the 808. Ha. 216-702-414. 317-214s and the 281s. 334-205. I see y'all. 318 and the 601s. 203-804-402.
Going down. We about to get to this B-side. If you got the cassette, if you got the CD, keep it moving. You know what I mean? Ride with the Funk Flex Special Delivery Part 2. We dropping this every month. So I'm getting down, Big Dog Pit Bulls. Check my man Roberto for tapes and CDs. Cause we doing.